The following message is brought to you by MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church. We are many stories made one family by one gospel. If you would like to connect with us, please check out our website at MacArthurBoulevard.org.
And you may be seated and open your Bibles, turn on your Bibles, look at the Bible next to you, whatever it takes. And we are back in Exodus 20 as we continue looking through what we traditionally call the Ten Commandments, but what we have learned to be the Ten Words. These ten moral principles, this part of this covenant relationship that God has with his people, that he has given to us. And I just want you to look down at verse 8, because we're going to be focusing on what I thank Pastor Ricky for giving to me, the most difficult of all the words. It's whoever's preaching next week, don't murder. Are you preaching next week? Maybe it's back to Pastor Ricky. Whoever has don't murder, it's pretty simple. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock, or the resident alien who's within your city gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. Well, when we come to this fourth word in the middle of the ten, we come to a transition of God's commands, God's covenant, God's instruction for relationship with his people. A transition from the first few words, which had to do with our relationship to God. And now a transition coming into our relationship with one another in community. Next one being honor your father and your mother, and then murder, and etc. So we see the first few are focused me with my God, and then I turn to me and my community. And it's a summary of all of these. Well, in the middle, we find what is really a transition word. This command, this word to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, is reflecting back in our relationship with God, but it's transitioning in our relationship within community. And very simply, when you see in there, it's not just me and my walk with God. He also included your son, your daughter, your servants, your livestock, every living thing in community. This word invokes my covenant relationship with my God, and this word invokes my covenant relationship with the family of God, the community of God as well. When Jesus was asked the question, what is the greatest command? Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6:5, where he said, love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your might. And second to it, he quoted Leviticus 19:18, love your neighbor as yourself. And we find that discourse in Matthew 22, where Jesus responds. And what did he say after he said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself? He said, upon these two, all the commands of God, all the words of God hang. Jesus himself reflects on this one as a transition. Both my walk with God and my walk with community are important. And in the middle, we find this, remember the Sabbath. And I know what you're thinking. Pastor Bob, we don't recognize the Sabbath day anymore. This command doesn't apply anymore. Unless you are a Seventh-day Baptist, then you believe it is still binding for us today. Or unless you are those in Reformed churches, many who believe that the Sabbath is the Sunday. The Christian Sabbath is Sunday. So we do recognize the Sabbath. We just do it on Sunday. Well, there are many different ways the church has responded to this word in applying it for today. But before we get into the details of how we apply this, or does it even exist, are we bound to it at all, is let's understand exactly the heart of the word that's presented to us. Now, I think it is important. I want you to flip over to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31. There's a review in Exodus 31 on the commands, the words. And in verse 12 of Exodus 31, note these words. The Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, so that you will know that I am the Lord who consecrates you. Observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Whoever profanes it must be put to death. If anyone does work on it, that person must be cut off from my people. Work may be done for 6 days, but on the seventh day there must be a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Anyone who does work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. The Israelites must observe the Sabbath, celebrating it throughout their generations as a permanent covenant. It is a sign forever between me and the Israelites. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, but on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. And then in verse 18, when he finished speaking with Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the testimony, stone tablets inscribed by the finger of God. The last thing God said to Moses as he was handing him these tablets, what contains the 10 words, he said to him, okay, here you are, but I want to make a point. The number one thing that they must abide by is the word of keeping the Sabbath. It is fundamental in my law. Well, if there's so much emphasis to the Israelites and to Moses, and Jesus himself, when he was questioned about work on the Sabbath, we recall the time he healed on the Sabbath, and he responded and said, is it not okay to do good on the Sabbath? And remember his claim, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus Christ was not saying that when he said in the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What Jesus was saying when it related to the Sabbath was not doing away with it at all. He was rather fighting and opposing what the Pharisees had made it to become. He was saying, you're not the authority on the Sabbath. I am the authority on the Sabbath. And he was saying that God did not create the Sabbath so man would be in bondage to him. He created Sabbath rest so that man would be free from bondage and delivered from bondage. Jesus did not do away with the Sabbath. He clarified the Sabbath. He took a step towards the understanding. Jesus also, what did he do with all the commands? It has been said unto you, thou shalt not kill, but I say unto you. It has been said unto you, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you. Jesus took the word, the covenant moral obligation that God's people have, and he clarified it. In fact, he went deeper with it. Rather than the letter of the law, Jesus is saying, there are some things that we need to understand, the principles behind this that are binding to every one of us. And the same is true with the fourth word when it comes to keeping the Sabbath. Same thing that we've seen in the first three. We understand it's not just about not creating an image out of carved wood or forming some stone idol. It's the principle of replacing what is true about God. It's the second one where we then add to what God is. We can't detract from who God is. We can't add to whom God is. And then last week, how we use the name of God. It's not whether do you not swear or use the name of God in vain, as we think. It's something much deeper. And the same is true when it comes to the word, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I think, and I hope that you notice something else. All the other commands except one are negative. Do not, do not, do not, do not, do not. Now honor your father and mother, but do not, do not, do not, except this one. This one is worded very differently. It's remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now it does say, when we look in verse 10, you must not do any work. This command could have been worded, do not work on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath. It could have been consistent with the do not, do not, do not. But I believe it's not written in that way because the focus is not on the do not. The focus is on the remember. The focus is on how it's introduced to us. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, before we answer questions on how do we keep it holy, and before we answer questions on how we apply it to the church today, let's kind of exposit a bit and see what we're actually seeing here. What does it mean to remember the Sabbath day? Well, I know what it means to remember stuff. I mean, we all know that one of the commands should probably be the 11th command, thou shalt not forget your anniversary, that thou shalt not forget your wife's birthday. I mean, there are certain things in life that we have to remember. I mean, we've got to remember things. Well, this is not the same word. This is not a word calling us to recollect something that we may have forgotten. It's a totally different word. In fact, it was only 3 weeks prior to this that the Sabbath was introduced to the people of Israel. It had only been 3 weeks since God began to provide the manna, and they were told to go and collect double portion on the sixth day because the seventh day was going to be a Sabbath, a day of rest. That was the first that had been introduced to them, this whole concept of a Sabbath, the seventh day being a day of rest. 3 weeks later, it's now encoded in the law, if you will, encoded as one of God's moral obligations for his covenant people. It's not saying, oh, and don't forget that one about not working on the Sabbath. Don't forget the one about, you know, collecting double portion of manna on Friday, because if you don't, you won't have any on Saturday. And if you collect too much, it's going to have worms in it. And remember that. Don't forget. No, that's not what he's saying. Over 230 times throughout the Old Testament, this word is used. And it's used like it's used in Exodus chapter 2, verse 24, where God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God remembered his covenant with Noah. God remembered Abraham. He remembered Rachel. He remembered, and in here, when the people of Israel in bondage, when the Hebrew people were groaning for deliverance, God remembered his covenant. Now, God had not forgotten his covenant, and he just recollected. He saw one of his post-it notes in heaven. He said, oh, that's right. I have a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I guess I should do something. It's not that concept at all. Remembering is a word that simply means it is now time to act upon the covenant in which I have entered into. It's now my turn. It's now my opportunity. It's now my privilege. It's now my responsibility. It's now my obligation. But now is the time for me to act upon this covenant agreement. And when God says that he remembered, it's a time that he is going to act upon his covenant relationship with his people. Same is true, the word, same word, used for us. Remember the Sabbath. Now is time to act. Now is time for your obligation. Now is time for you to take serious the fact that you have a responsibility to do something because of your covenant relationship with your God. And so they are called upon to now act. Whereas before, it appeared as if there's a lesson. In fact, earlier in Exodus 16, when God provided manna, he said very clearly, this is a test. This is a test to see if they're going to obey me. It's a test. And now he's saying, okay, I've taught you the lesson. Now you need to see it as an obligation. Not a test whether or not it works or not. Not a test whether or not the manna will have worms or not. Not a test to see whether or not there'll be enough or not. The test has been complete. Now I want you to recognize you have an obligation, a covenant obligation to act upon this relationship, which specifically for them is keeping the seventh day as a Sabbath. Well, then he says, keep it holy. Keep it holy. You know, the Kira and McKenna Bruner, I don't know if they're here. Yes, there they are. A few weeks ago, Bonnie had some silver trays and silver candelabras because she was getting ready to put on a wedding shower for someone, and it was going to be a tea party, and there had to be silver. Well, when you took the silver out of the cabinet, it's all black. It doesn't look very silvery. It looks more black and dirty. And so these two young ladies were employed to come to our house. And they came over. You know what they did? They kept it holy. They kept it holy. Literally, that word means that you take something and you cleanse it and you prepare it for its use. You prepare it for its specific use. And they came over and they scrubbed with some kind of goop Bonnie had for them, and they rinsed, and when by the time they were done, these instruments were holy. They were beautiful. They were ready for the purpose that they were intended. The same wording is used for the priest's garments. Keep it holy. Clean them, prepare them, and set them apart for a particular function. It's used often throughout, particularly the ceremonial law with Moses, because of the process of keeping things holy was keeping it right and ready for its unique purpose. And what he's saying here is to remember, it's now time for us to recognize we have an obligation to prepare ourselves and prepare a certain day, a certain time, for the intention God has. Well, what is the intention God has? We need to recognize that's where this word Sabbath comes in. Shavat, if you are in Israel speaking Hebrew. The idea that this is the rest. Sabbath literally means rest. Rest is the purpose. Rest is the goal. We remember our obligation, so we prepare so that we have rest. That the day is set apart, not in and of itself the day, but so that man, as Jesus said, Sabbath made for man, so that man, God's people, would experience rest. We've been created in the image of God. What did God do on the seventh day? He rested. Did God need a break? Did God need physical rest as we know it? No. God enjoyed his creation. He celebrated his creation. It was the relationship. It was the rest of fulfillment and completion. That is the rest. We are image bearers of the rest that God enjoys. And so we're to demonstrate that. We are to recognize I have a responsibility for me to rest as God rests. Well, how do we rest? Well, he tells us in here how we rest. The first way that we rest is that we understand it is a ceasing from self. Ceasing from self. Don't work. Think back to the manna. Don't gather food for that day because there won't be any. You don't meet your need. Why? Because I meet your need. I provided you a double portion the day before. I provided for you, and so you'll have it. He also tells us here the reason is creation. I gave you life. I created life. And so your response to life is to rest. Don't try to create life. Don't try to be life. Accept the life that God gives to you. Deliverance from Israel. When you go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, the review of the 10 words uses not creation, but the deliverance from Egypt specifically. Because why do you keep the Sabbath? Why do you rest? Because I delivered you. It's a recognition. God delivered us. I don't deliver myself. So stop trying to provide for myself. Stop trying to deliver myself. Stop trying to change myself. Stop trying in my own strength. Rather, rest in what God has done. And the reason it's a part of this covenant relationship is God delivers, God saves, God provides. God is the one who gives us new life, and it's not of ourselves. And so there has to be a time that we cease from self and allow God to deal with whatever it is that we have. And it was going to be a continual lesson. It was set on the calendar for a reason. And we also got to understand, prior to this, there was no seven-day calendar. There was no days recognized in Egypt. They had months. They had years, the lunar and the solar. But the concept of 7 days did not exist. When they were in bondage in Egypt, there was no rest. In fact, when they first wanted to go into the wilderness to sacrifice, what Pharaoh said, what, you want to give your people a day of rest? No, double up. I'm going to make it more burdensome on them. The idea is that God made us to long for rest. We long for rest, and we have to cease trying to find it in our own work, in our own effort. A second part of that rest is how we celebrate God. Even in here, he talks about what God has done. In Leviticus, it says that that Sabbath day would be a solemn assembly. They would come together, and they would sacrifice, and they would celebrate. The idea is that when we rest, it is found as a time to celebrate what God has done for us. So when it was all about the manna, they would cease from work, accept God's provision, they would come together and they would celebrate God's provision. When we recognize their deliverance from Egypt, there were times that they were to look back and remember their captivity. They recognized that they have to cease. They could not deliver themselves from bondage. They'd come together and they would celebrate the deliverance from bondage. We find in Joshua, when they get to the promised land, that there they have rest. They're now in the promised land. They now have rest. But it said to them, but you don't have rest. You have rest, but you don't have rest. But yet it was the fulfilled promise. They were to come together and they were to celebrate God. Rest is not primarily a day of the week. Rest is primarily ceasing from self, celebrating God, and there's a third element, caring for one another. That's part of where this transition is. In fact, he brings in that you're to give this rest to your family, to your servants, to every living thing in your community, even the foreigners that are living amongst you. They were to be given this rest. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 58. Say, we're going to go to Isaiah 58. Well, because there we have quite a description of what this day looks like. Isaiah chapter 58. It's somewhere later in the Old Testament. You can look at the table of contents. Maybe I should have done that. There we have. We have it. Verse 13. If you keep from desecrating the Sabbath, from doing whatever you want on my holy day, in other words, you're focusing on self, if you call the Sabbath day a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, seeking your own pleasure, or talking business, then you will delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride over the heights of the land. In here, he's reminding them that the day of rest, the time of rest, is not about you. It's about releasing you. It's about ceasing from you. And then it's coming to recognize and delighting yourself in the Lord, celebrating God. But when you go earlier in chapter 58, verse 5, will the fast I choose be like this? A day for a person simply to deny himself, to bow his head like a reed, to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? In other words, if it's just about you being idle, doing nothing, just fasting, just being still, that's not enough. Isn't this the fast I choose? To break the chains of wickedness, to untie the ropes of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, and tear off every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the poor and homeless into your house, to clothe the naked when you see him, and not to ignore your own flesh and blood? When the prophet Isaiah is speaking to a people who had forgotten the Sabbath completely, they had forgotten this command at all. It was not a part of their daily practice, and reform was needed. He recognized that some of you still think it's a day for you, period. No, it's a day for you to cease from self, to celebrate God, and then to focus on caring for one another, giving rest to others. See, this is the idea of demonstrating the image of God. God gave rest, so we must, as God gives rest, give rest to others. The concept, the heart of this word is we begin to recognize our responsibility that I am to obey God and respond to him in the way he's called me to respond because of what he has done on my behalf. He's simply saying, here's how I want you to function because of what I've done for you. Well, when we carry that heart principle forward, I want you now to go to Hebrews chapter 4. Because for those who would say, well, the Sabbath day and that rest, that was all about the Old Testament. We don't have to worry about any of that anymore. Hebrews 4 verse 1 says, therefore, since the promise to enter his rest still remains. When we come to what we call the new covenant, we recognize that all of those things that we've seen in the past were pointing to something better and greater. They would never have rest until Jesus Christ came and offered them rest. They would never have true deliverance from bondage until Jesus Christ came and offered them true rest. They would never have true provision until they came to the place where they recognized that Jesus Christ offers them true spiritual provision and rest. We continue reading in Hebrews chapter 4. Look down verse 6. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news did not enter because of disobedience, he again specifies a certain day. Going back to a day, that there is to be a time that God's people are to stop, cease from self, celebrate God, and respond to the rest that he has for them. And he's giving here the new day. Here it is in Hebrews chapter 4. He's given us a certain day. What is it? Is it Monday? Is it Tuesday? Is it Sunday? No, it's today. It's today. What we're told in the fulfillment of the sabbatical principle is that today is the day that I need to cease self, celebrate God, care for one another, and enjoy the rest, that rest that he has for me. How do I have that true rest? I accept his work to deliver me from spiritual bondage. And I do it today. And then once I have done that, I accept his provision today. And I experience God's rest and peace today because he provides for me. That's why he said, think of the sparrows. They don't worry about tomorrow because today they already know who their provider is. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today is the day that you can have rest. And when you ponder it just for a moment, Israel was told back in Exodus chapter 20 that they were to cease from self, celebrate God, and care for others on a certain day. Knowing, God knowing, that all it would do is remind them, failure after failure after failure. We still don't have rest. We can't even keep this one day. And we have no rest. We have no peace. Why? Because you're not accepting the work of God on your behalf. There's no obedience. You're not submitting to him. You're not following him. You're weighing after others. You're failing to follow. Well, he brings that principle all the way into the new, and Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, at the time that this was given, God knew. God knew about his covenant. God knew that real rest would come, real spiritual deliverance, real spiritual provision, restitution in our relationship with God would come through Jesus Christ, through the gospel. We know it's the gospel. That's where it would come. And what day, when that's introduced to us, do we celebrate it? Today. What day do we cease from self? Today. What day do we begin to love one another? Today. Why? Because God has given us rest through Jesus Christ. It's not one day. Prior to that, it was a day that they were required to ponder what God had for them, to ponder the rest he had. And they had to obey. They had to obey and keep it in a certain way. Now, when Jesus combated the day of the Sabbath, understand that what it had become was nothing what it was. And what has become since even the time of Jesus is very different. During the rabbinical years when Jesus was ministering, the Pharisees had come up with 39 categories of work. There were 39 things you couldn't do. Because they said, well, no, well, you can't work. What can I do? Can I blow my nose? I don't know. Can I blow my nose? Let's ask the rabbi. And so they came up with a 39 thing. And you can blow your nose, by the way. That's acceptable. But there's 39 things you can't do. And one of those things you can't do is you can't light a fire nor extinguish a fire. You can't light a fire, a cooking fire, or extinguish it. Well, then in modern days, that's been applied. When you go to Israel, as many of you, we've had the opportunity of going on Saturday, the seventh day, Sabbath, don't get on an elevator. Because the Jewish elevators go to every floor. Because you cannot push a button. Because when you push the button or turn on a light switch, you are igniting a flame, a circuit, and you're breaking the command to keep the Sabbath holy. And so I have gotten on elevators before that weren't a Jewish elevator, and someone had to push the button. There was a Jewish individual that looked at me and said, would you be willing to push number 12 for me? They knew the old dirty dog Gentile. I can do it. I can push all the buttons I want. It wasn't a problem for me. But they do have elevators in the back for the Gentiles so you can get where you need to go. And I say that not to make fun of a culture, of a people today, but to say the misunderstanding that this is not about rules and regulations to make sure that I don't do something wrong to displease God. The heart of this is that I would obey God out of recognition of what he's done for me. And I would enjoy the rest that he gives to me, not trying to create a rest on my own, not trying to create something on my own, not trying to survive on my own, physically, spiritually, whatever it may be, but trust fully in him. So he demanded their obedience. So the heart of our fourth word is that I would obey God enjoy his rest that he has given to me. And when does that begin? That begins today, which is the day that every person must consider. Am I enjoying the rest of God? Have I submitted? Am I obeying, or am I still trusting self? Even though today's been declared the day, there are many people who have not yet obeyed the fourth word. You're still working. You're still working through your religion. You're still working through your works. You're still working through your self-righteousness. You're still working through your education, your mind. You're still working through your power, your money, whatever it may be. You're still trying to find rest through your own efforts. Today is the day to cease from self and turn to Christ. Celebrating God. Well, I understand. I understand why we gather together on Sundays. It's a good thing to gather together on Sunday. You know, the history of that, Jesus, he went to the synagogue. He obeyed the Sabbath. He challenged the Pharisaical additions, but he obeyed the Sabbath. The early church, they went to the temple. They went to the Sabbath until they were forced out. And when they were forced out, they began to meet on the first day, Sunday. And they recognized this is the day of the resurrection. It was called the Lord's Day. But never was it says, the Lord's Day, Sunday, is now your Sabbath. So, some would say that the only way to obey this command is to go to church on Sunday and cease from your labors on Sunday. You must fulfill that command that way. Although I also worship on Sunday, and there's good reason for us to gather together on Sunday, I'm free to do that because I understand the principle of this is I must submit to God to enjoy his rest. And I must celebrate God within my community. So community, let's get together when we're able. You know when the early church got together? What day did they get together? Daily. The early church came together every day to celebrate. And as often as they partook of a meal together, they would remember the work of Jesus Christ through Lord's Supper. And then it began that when Constantine decided that he would turn the Roman Empire Christian, he's the first who said there are 7 days. The seventh, the Sunday, is the Christian Sabbath, and hereby it's directed. There's now a work week with Sunday as our day off. An actual persecution against the Jewish community in Salem. But what we recognize is what we do in our practice is not the point. It's been made very clear that no longer are we to worry about the feasts of the Sabbath days of the law, of the ceremony. But never is that presented as an opportunity for us to walk away from the moral obligation that we have, from the relationship that we have, from the covenant that God established with us. And that fulfilled clearly through this command of submitting myself in obedience and enjoying the rest that God has because of his work. And as I enjoy that rest, I cease from self, I celebrate God, I care for one another. That's the principle that we're called to do. I would say that when we gather together to worship our God, we should include in this, and we do as a church, we include in this opportunities for us to celebrate what God is doing. I think it's important for us to more consciously celebrate what God is doing for us. Part of the Sabbath rest was to consciously focus on what God has done, whether it was creation, whether it was deliverance from Egypt, whether it was the provision of manna, whether it's the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, whatever it may be. The part of our rest that we get to enjoy is I celebrate what God is doing. I take advantage of what God is doing. You know, back when the hurricane hit New Orleans, Katrina, I think it was. There was a guy named Bob. And Bob was there in the midst of the hurricane when the winds came, the levees broke, the water came, and the streets started to flood around his little house there in that area. And he started to pray, God, deliver me from this flood, deliver me from what's coming. And a guy pulled up in a big four-wheel drive and said, hop in, Bob. And Bob said, nope, I'm trusting God to deliver me. So, okay, four-wheel drive drives off. Bob has to move to the second floor, and he's praying, God, deliver me, God, deliver me. And pretty soon a boat comes along, you know, putters up to Bob's house. Says, Bob, hop in. He said, no, I'm trusting God to deliver me. I don't need your help. I trust in God. And the boat paddles off. Eventually, Bob has to get through his attic, put a hole through the roof. He's sitting up on top of his roof, and helicopter comes along. And helicopter loudspeaker, Coast Guard says, Bob, you know,
grabbed the rope. And
Bob says, no, thank you, appreciate it, but I'm trusting God to deliver me. I don't need man's help. I'm trusting God. And pretty soon the waters came, swept him away, and he died. And it was sad. And he gets to heaven. Bob gets to heaven, and he's welcoming to heaven. He said, God, I trusted you. I prayed all those times. And God looked at him and said, I sent you a four-wheel drive. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. Bob, all you had to do was grab on. And you know, we live this life so much like Bob. You know, we act as if I'm waiting upon the Lord when the Lord has directed. And the Lord has already made clear the things that he would have us to do. And one of those, it starts with salvation. There are people who are saying, I'm crying out for God to deliver me. I'm crying out for God to give me hope. But God is saying, here it is. All you got to do is take hold. Here's the gospel. There are some of God's people who are saying, I'm struggling. I don't have rest. And I'm praying that God gives me rest. I'm praying God could, and God is saying, I've given you my word. I've given you my promise. I've given you the body of Christ. I've given you rest. You just need to take hold. And some of this principle of the fourth word is, again, simply a submission and a selfless approach to what God is doing on my behalf. And you realize what it says is when we rest in God's rest, we are honoring him. When we rest in the work he has done, he is glorified. When we rest in what he has done that we cannot do, he is honored. And the command is in our relationship, he will remember his covenant, remember your part. Honor him and glorify him and praise him with everything in you for the work that he has done. And it begins by accepting the work that he has done on your behalf.